Well, wasn't that fun? Praise the Lord. Give our praise team a hand. That's fantastic. Boy, great singing this morning. Great to hear you all sing in worship of our Lord. And He is worthy of all our worship. He is worthy of all our songs and worthy of our lives. And we praise God for what He has done for us. Take your Bibles this morning. Go back to the book of Philippians chapter number 2. The book of Philippians chapter number 2. And we are working our way, as I say every week, oh so quickly, through the book of Philippians, already in chapter number 2. And this morning we find ourselves in verse number 16. Verse number 16, chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. It's great to see you all this morning. You all are looking good. Hope you're not too tired. If you went to the rodeo 3 days in a row like I did, maybe you're a little draggy this morning. But that was definitely fun to be a part of and to see all those competing at the rodeo. Just to remind us of where we are, if you've been out of town or been somewhere else, we're in verse 16, and up to this point we are talking about, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi, he said in verse number 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind, of one accord." And then he says in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Don't look upon your own things, but everyone to look upon the things of others," as he says in verse number 4. And the answer is how to do that. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then talks about the emptying of Christ and the example of Christ, of what He has done. And I've mentioned before that in Scripture, Christ is our example. Christ is the one that has done for us. And so He empowers us to live for Him. And so He says, emulate Christ, the mind of Christ, to be in you. And then goes through what Christ did. He was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Christ was obedient. Christ was a servant. Christ fulfilled salvation through His work upon the cross. And ultimately, this is all leading through, as He continues this same thought or this same theme in my mind, as He says in that God works in us in verse number 13. And He's continuing to encourage the church at Philippi. Remember from chapter 3, beware of false teachers. Beware of those that are evil. And so He's reminding the church to be of the same mind, to emulate Christ, to have the humility and the obedience of Christ. And then He goes back and tells them to work out their salvation. Now I know that those that have been here every week are like, yeah, we've been through this each and every night, right? Each and every Sunday morning. But repetition is the law of learning and the mother of skill. So you will know Philippians 2 by the time this is over. And so Christ is showing forth the example of how we should be. And then God says in verse number 13, He says, it is God that works in you. It's God that empowers you. It's God that strengthens you. You don't live for God without God. You don't serve Christ without Christ. He empowers us to live for Him. And then He goes back to more personal instruction. He says, do everything without murmuring and disputing. And there's a reason for this, as we got to last week, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And then He says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And all this has a purpose, and all this has a reason. And that is found at the end of verse number 15. Because you are to shine as a light in the world. Our actions speak for who we are. People are watching us before they even know us. Even the world will look at a Christian not living how God has ordained for them to live, and even they will say, I thought they were a Christian. Even the world knows better sometimes how Christians are to live. So all this is given, as He says in verse number 15, you are shining as lights in the world. The darker the world, the brighter the light shines. And we are called to be that light. But then I think we see, as we make to verse number 16 this morning, I think we see the refueling for this light. As we have seen earlier, that God works in us and God empowers us, but we also need help and we need instruction and we need strength and we need encouragement and we need understanding as we live in this world. So as the Apostle Paul has already instructed the church at Philippi to do things without grumbling and disputing, he knew that there was opposition that they would face, and there's opposition that we face. He reminded them to be joyful, to be unified, and to live a life free of complaints. Because, as one author says, people will look at your words and your actions to establish your credibility. And we are to shine as lights in this world. And so in verse number 16, he says this. And as I mentioned already, I think this is the idea of refueling for our lives, refueling for our light that is shining. He says this, holding forth the word of life. Now, I know that you were expecting me to get all the way to the end of chapter 2 this morning. However, that's as far as we're going to get. Just those words at the beginning of verse number 16. Holding forth, he says, the word of life. We still need to talk about, hopefully next week, about the day of Christ and running in vain, or not in vain, as he says in verse number 16. But this morning, we're going to talk about this idea of holding forth the word of life. And I know we understand that this has the idea of holding forth or holding fast. I think within this, we see kind of an internal and an external meaning to this word, to holding fast or holding forth the word of life. The internal way that we can look at it is believers must stand firmly and deeply rooted upon the teaching of the word of God and the words of Christ. Before we can share with the world, we need to have an understanding of the scripture and tell the world about the truth of Jesus Christ. Holding forth, holding fast to that which is true. And then the external idea of this, of holding forth something, is that we extend and offer this truth in the gospel to others. We hold fast in our lives to the truth, and we hold forth the truth of the Word of God to those around us. We need to know and understand that the Word of God is the truth of God upon which we are to build our lives. We live in a world where the new truth right now is, well, I can name a few, Google. Does anyone count that as truth? And again, I've said this before, I really hate to bust your bubble and put your ears in your fingers in your ears. Not everything on Google is true. I know. Are you disappointed, Jace? I know. It's not all true. And the internet and all those things, we have all these things that claim to be truth. We have all this AI stuff and all these things in this world today. And everybody is grasping for truth and looking for truth. And so as Christians, not only are we to shine forth our light in the world, but we also hold forth or present the word of truth, the words of life, that God has given us a responsibility to shine as lights in this world, to refuel our lights through the word of God as we hold fast and we hold forth to the truth of the word of God. The Bible says it like this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible tells us that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and that we are to hold forth and hold fast to the word of truth. We see this word that is used here as holding fast, used some different ways throughout Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 16 is translated to have the idea of keeping a close watch. Keeping a close watch. In Acts chapter 3 and verse number 5, it was used a kind of the idea of keeping or fixing your attention upon. And in Acts chapter 19 and verse number 22, it talks about Paul himself, in chapter 19 and verse 22 of Acts, talks about he held his place in Asia for a while. It has the idea of holding, fixing upon, looking upon. And so as we get to verse number 16 this morning, he says, we hold forth or hold fast the word of life, the word of truth. So we could take this idea in our lives, all right? And remember that we can look at Scripture and apply Scripture to our lives. I've shared a little bit of my own testimony before, but I was a missionary kid growing up on the Navajo Indian Reservation, and by the time I'd spent a lot of my life there, I was completely done living as a missionary kid. I mean, I just had it. When we went back with the church team a couple weeks ago, I drove by the very spot where I had determined that I was completely done doing anything for the Lord. And I still remember outside of Gallup, New Mexico, there's a gas station there that they would always put the price of sheep on that piece of plywood, and they'd spray paint it on there. And as the price changed, they would white the board out and they'd spray paint the new price on there. And I was driving with my mom, and I hit the steering wheel like that, and then I hit it again, and I said, I am done. I am done being on the missionary kid. I am done doing things for the Lord. I don't want anything to do with this any longer. My mom said, no, Josh, it's okay. You know, I was getting ready to go off to college, and I didn't want to do anything for the Lord. I was in church all the time with my dad, because he, as a missionary, he would go to church on Sunday night at one church, he'd be on Sunday morning at another church, and then he'd be in Ganado on Monday and Farmington on Tuesday, and I would drive him to these different places, and I didn't want anything else to do with it. I was tired of being in the ministry. I was tired of being a missionary kid, and I wanted to be done. I went to college and was a criminal justice major. I wanted to be New Mexico State Highway Patrol. That was my dream. I wanted it for the uniform and the car, okay? I'm just going to be honest. That's what I wanted. I wanted that black car, and I wanted the uniform, and I was a criminal justice major. I loved it, and I was a little behind on one class, and this is a true story. Mr. Corbin, I needed one class, Fundamentals of Criminal Justice, in order to continue on with my degree, and it was a two-week course that was taught 8 hours a day for 2 weeks, and only one person signed up. And it was me. Me and Mr. Corbin in class for 8 hours a day for 2 weeks. And the funniest thing that he would do, he would ask a question to the class, knowing I was the only one. And he would look around the class, and then I would sit there awkwardly. And he would say, yes, Josh. And I would try to answer the question. It was the most awkward 2 weeks of my entire life. So, and I've told you some of this story, but I didn't want anything to do with the ministry, anything like that. Fast forward a long ways, okay, about a year, year and a half or so, and I'm out of school for the summer, and I am working at Cracker Barrel as a waiter in Gallup, New Mexico. It was a 30-minute drive. I've told you part of this. I'm leaving for my first day of work. It was a night shift. I worked till 11 o'clock as a Cracker Barrel waiter, all right? Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? And Cracker Barrel was the only place in New Mexico that had sweet tea. And these Southerners would get off the interstate, and you could see them panting as they came in the door. And the first thing they would say is, please tell me you have sweet tea, because they'd been at the Grand Canyon, Arizona, and couldn't find sweet tea. And back then, Cracker Barrel had sweet tea. It was one of the only ones. So anyway, my mom, as I was leaving for my first shift as a waiter, she handed me a cassette tape. You all know what that is, right? A cassette tape. You all remember when they would get jammed, you'd take the pencil and rewind it, you know? I mean, those were the good old days, right? And so she handed me a cassette tape because the radio did not work in our Ford Explorer. And she said, Josh, I want you to listen to this as you go to work. It was Alexander Scorby. You ever heard him read the Bible? Chapter 1. And God said, anyway, so I listened to that. I was like, well, I may as well. I put the tape in, and I listened to it on my way to work and listened to it on my way back to work from work. I only had one tape. It was the Book of Romans being read by Alexander Scorby. And I listened to it all summer long. back and forth to work. I'd put it in, back and forth, late at night, coming home from work. And by the end of the summer, I was preaching in the car, but I didn't want to tell anybody. And I knew God had something else for me to do. What the reason I'm telling you this story is this. The Word of God has great power. The Word of God changed my life. The Word of God changed my mind. I go back to college, and I changed my major from criminal justice to Bible. And you've heard the story before. I knew that if I did that, it was over with Joanna because she never wanted to be a preacher's wife. Ever. But 25 years of marriage now, right? So it worked out pretty good. But God works through His Word. We are called to hold forth the Word of life to those around us. We are called to shine to those around us. The world needs the truth of God's Word. God's Word will change your life just like it has changed my life. There's nothing the devil fights harder than someone to be in the Word of God and studying and learning the Word of God. So he encourages them in Philippi. He says, as you shine, you need to have the Word. You need to gaze upon, to look upon the Word, feed from the Word of God internally. And then as you do that, externally, hold it forth. Present it to those around you. Some people say, well, I don't know how to talk to people. Just share the truth. The Bible says that Paul in Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So he says, hold forth the word of life, holding your attention to the truth, holding your gaze, holding a position. You're shining in the world, holding your gaze unto the truth of God's Word. We are called to shine bright in a dark culture. So this morning, I want to go through some areas where the Word of God shows us how we are to shine forth. Take your Bibles and go to the book of John. And Monty, I know I didn't give you these, but you are so quick back there. You don't need all these verses each and every time. John chapter 6 and verse number 68. John chapter 6 and verse 68. We are to hold forth the word of life. The way you shine as a light in the dark culture is by holding forth the word of God. Hold your gaze upon it. Hold your position upon it. And say, as what Peter said to Jesus, look at what he says. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, where are we going to go? Because you, he says, thou hast the words of eternal life. He says, we look at the word of God and you look around you and say, where else can we go? What else holds the words of eternal life? Who else has the forgiveness of sin other than the Lord Jesus Christ? And so as Peter says here, he says, where else are we going to go? You alone hold the words of eternal life. That's what we see in Scripture. Jesus says, search the Scriptures, for in them you'll find they testify of me. Go to Romans now in the Bible. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. Where else are we going to go? There you have the words of eternal life. So he says in verse number 17 of chapter 10 of Romans, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hold fast and gaze upon the word of God because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes how? From the word of God. I once knew a pastor. He wasn't always a pastor, but he would drive to work and he would pass a sign, a little white sign with scripture on it. He would drive by it every day on the way to work and he would read that sign. After driving by that sign with scripture on it for 3 months, the Lord convicted his heart of his need for the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a Navajo pastor. He pastored in Vanderwagen, New Mexico. And he stopped right by that sign, got on his knees, and asked Christ to be his Savior. From just reading the Word of God, from reading the truth of Scripture. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Go back to John now. I've got you going all over the place this morning. Why else do we hold fast to the Word of God, Word of truth? Why else do we present it to those around us? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I got the talking and forgot to turn myself. John chapter 15 and verse number 11. John 15 and verse number 11. Why else do we gaze upon, hold fast, look upon the Word of God? He says this in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Okay, so what's he saying? These things, Jesus is saying, have I spoken to you, that I have given to you the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the understanding of Scripture. Then he says, I've given you this that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be, what? As he says in verse number 11, full, F-U-L-L. Then he says, the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, the life of the Word of God brings joy in our lives because of truth. Jesus said, I've given you this, that my joy would be in you, and that your joy may remain full. So we hold fast and gaze upon the Word of God because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hold fast and gaze upon the Word of God because our joy is dependent upon the truth that we find therein. Go to John 8 now. John 8 and verse number 31. John 8 and verse number 31. The Bible says, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And look at this, verse number 32. And the truth shall set you free. In the word of God, we have freedom. We understand that we hold fast and we gaze upon the word of God because therein we find freedom. Jesus said, as he says in chapter 8 and verse number 32, you shall be free indeed. I love that. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth sets us free from the lies and the deception around us. John 17 now. John 17 and verse number 17. John 17 and verse number 17, where the Bible says, sanctify them. That's the word we've explained a couple weeks ago, to be set apart. To be set apart for something. Sanctify them, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, Philippian church, he reminds them, don't do anything through strife or vainglory. Your example is Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Look how he emptied himself. Look how he was a servant. Look how he was obedient. Look how he was humble. Live a life that you shine bright to a dark world. And church, we need to shine for our world. We need them to see what it is to be a Christian. And then as we shine, we refuel and we understand that we internally grow and learn from the Word of God, but we externally bring forth the Word of God to those around us. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why? Because in the truth shall set us free. In the Word of God, we have joy that is found therein. And then Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3 this morning. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Galatians 3 and verse number 5. There we are. The Bible says here, Paul writing, he says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. We compare that to earlier to the book of John and others where it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that God works in us as we hear and respond to the word of God by faith. And then we see in Matthew chapter 4, a verse that I'm sure you'll remember, Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. And we understand that Jesus is being tempted here. And what is the response? He quotes Scripture. He responds to the devil with the Word of God, because the Word of God is true and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he says in verse 4, but he answered and said, and the words turned to red, and Jesus begins to speak. It is written. He's referring to Scripture. He's referring to the truth of God's Word. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? How? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. So we've been on a little journey this morning talking about Philippians chapter number 2. And let's make our way back there now. Philippians chapter number 2. So he says in verse 15, you are to shine as lights in the world. What are ways in which, in your own heart right now, what are a way in which you can shine to those around you? People watch our actions. People watch the way we respond. They see the things that we do or don't do. Are we shining as lights around us? And then in verse 16, we gaze upon the word of life. We recognize that God's word is our source for truth and for understanding, and we feed internally upon the word of God, and then we hold it forth to the world around us. The world needs the truth of Scripture. The world needs to understand what God has in his word. So we hold fast for the sake of strength, stability, and fruitfulness. Now, one more verse this morning. Go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter number 1. The book of Psalms, chapter number 1. I love Psalms, chapter number 1. We'll start in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Pretty self-explanatory there. But then verse 2. How do we live as Christians? And I'm afraid that many Christians do not spend time in the Word of God. They don't recognize the Word of God as that life to the world. And so this is what he says. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of sinners, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But what should we be? Verse 2. But our delight, is there something you delight in? What is it when you think of delight? There's things in my life that I could say I delight in. A green chili burrito, that is awful good. Haagen-Dazs cookie dough ice cream. Yeah, I better stop there, I'm getting hungry. But listen, but what is it that we delight in? What do we find our joy? What makes us excited? I want to ask you a serious question. When's the last time that we found our delight, as he says in verse number 2, in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God? When is it that we, instead of when it came time for our devotions, that we sat down and we were like, oh, better get this done, right? I got a Bible reading program. I got to check off the boxes today. Or do we say, oh, Lord, thank you. I can't wait to see what your word has to say. I can't wait to see what you have for me today. But his delight, he says, is in the law of the Lord. That we love God. We love his word. We want to hear what he has to say for us. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then it gets even better. And in his law, he meditates day and night. See, we are to look upon, gaze upon, hold fast to the Word of God. Present it to the world and show them the light that we have therein. And that we ourselves understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We recognize that our joy comes from the understanding of a relationship with God. We recognize what Jesus says, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We recognize the importance of Scripture and understanding Scripture, and we know the answer to that question. Where else are we going to go? Is there anywhere else that has the Word of life? Is there anyone else that has the truth of what this world is and who we are and how to know God And because of those things, we respond as the psalmist does in verse 2. My delight's in the law of the Lord. My delight is meditating in that day and night. And here's the result. Here's the result of spending time in His Word and learning of God and recognizing what truth is. And here in Colorado, we certainly recognize what this means. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In New Mexico, everything's dry except for where the river Rio Grande runs down through Albuquerque and those areas. And there's trees all along that, right? And why? Why do they grow so well there? There's water. Why do the trees in my yard die? I don't know. But I know a tree that is by a river of water will grow. And what is the river of water to us? It's the Word of God. If you're going to shine as a light in the world, you need fuel for that lamp. You need understanding for that lamp. And that's where we get from the Word of God. And as we meditate and dwell upon and study and memorize the Word of God, we become like a tree that's planted by the river of water. And not only that, it gets even better. Look at what he says in verse number 3. And he brings forth fruit in his season. See, God has given us his word that we learn of him and we grow in him and we mature, and then we begin. See, that's what I'm talking about, this internal and external part, all right? Remember, internally, we're dwelling, we're looking upon, we're gazing. And then externally, the fruit from verse number 3 begins to come out, and we're holding forth that word to those around us. The truth of God's word. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. Internally, we're feeding upon the word of God. And let me tell you what happens. It comes out externally. It does. Because the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changes our lives. And we're feeding, and we're growing, and we're producing fruit. And then he says, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does, whatsoever he does shall prosper. So no wonder Paul writes to the church at Philippi. He's giving them the example of Christ. He's shown them the importance of humility and obedience and of servanthood. He tells them that it's God that works in them, both to do and will of his good pleasure. He tells them the importance of being a light to those around them, but he also recognizes that every light needs a source of fuel. And so the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write verse 16 and says, I want you to internally and externally recognize the importance of the word of life, and that you take it in internally and understand it and apply it and memorize it, and then let that externally come out of you to those around you that you are shining your light to. And so he encourages them with the importance of God's word. So one challenge for you this morning. We won't go through a bunch of applications. I've kind of already given you those. And this is, sounds, see, Josh, you went to seminary to have applications like this. Yes, this is how simple it is. Number one, are you spending time in God's word? Are you spending time in God's word? Remember, Paul says, by now you should have been eating meat, and I'm going to have to come back to you and feed you as a baby again with milk. Are we spending time in God's word? Church, you want to be a spiritual church? You got to spend time in God's word. Church, you want to grow in God? You got to spend time in God's word. And then number two, this gets a little closer to home. Are you obeying God's word? Not only are we reading God's word, or do we just pick out the parts that we like? Oh, I like that. My wife better get in shape. Right? But then you forget the part where he says the husband should love the wife as Christ also hath loved the church. Right? Sometimes we're guilty of picking out the parts we like. I was joking on Wednesday night that I saw a t-shirt actually at camp. I can do all things through scripture taken out of context. And so we recognize that Are we spending time in God's Word, and are we applying and being obedient to God's Word in our lives? Are we saying, God, when I come to your Word, I want you to speak to me. I ask you to change me, to make me into who you want me to be. I'm not thinking about the others. I want to gaze and to hold fast and look upon the Word of life, that I would be willing to display it to those around me. We can take it in, but are we displaying God's Word to those around us? You say, Josh, what does that look like to display the Word of God? What does that look like? I think Galatians does a pretty good job of that. Fruits of the Spirit, love and joy. And all those fruits we see listed in the book of Galatians chapter 5, as we see that being demonstrated in our lives because we have learned of God from His Word. Are we reading? Are we studying? And are we applying and obeying what God's Word has for us? Let's bow our heads together. Joanne and Bethany are going to come and lead us in a song this morning. As I say every Sunday morning, let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment and talk to the Lord. Ask Him to speak to us through His Word. Ask Him to give us the strength to internally grow and to externally display the Word and the truth of God. As Joanne and Bethany begin to play for us this morning, however the Lord is working in your heart today, maybe it's, Lord, give me the time to read and study more. Lord, there's an area in my life I know that you've been dealing with me. Help me to be obedient to what you have for me in your Word. Take a moment and just talk to the Lord today. Right, amen. Thank you. I love that song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's stand together this morning and we will do our final verse together. Again, I challenge you. Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you applying the Word of God? Let's read this together. Ready? Here we go. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We can do a little better than that. Are you ready? Here we go. One more time. Ready? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the truth about us and about you. Lord, we thank you for the strength and the joy and the help and the contentment and the love that we find in your word. Lord, give us help this week to study and to obey what we hear. Lord, may we meditate upon your word day and night. May it be in our thoughts and our minds. And Lord, we know the promise of your word that we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season. We thank you that the Word of God is alive. And may not only we see that in our lives, but may we display and illuminate and hold forth the Word of life to those around us. And may they know of you. And may they see of you in us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.